You may feel like you're getting soaked each year on tax day, but consider this. It's the government who really gets soaked. The IRS estimates that it loses about $270 billion a year due to underreported income. Now, I know you're not terribly sorry for the IRS. It's mostly because of loopholes that are legal, but often allow the wealthiest Americans and corporations to game the system and get by with paying lower rates on their taxes. Part of all of this, of course, is the growing complexity of the tax code. The $10 billion a year tax prep industry has spent millions of dollars lobbying members of Congress to keep the tax code as full of all those complex little enticements as possible so that preparers can find them all for you. Should the tax code be a complex instrument of social policy or just a simple way of funding the government?
We have not reformed our corporate tax laws when 100% of the people, from Democrats, Republicans, Independents, agree we need to.
We should seize this opportunity to throw out this unfair monstrosity and replace it with a system that will lower tax rates.
By giving people their money back, it is an insurance policy against any economic downturn. It is a policy for growth, and growth is good for America.
Let's stop giving tax breaks to businesses that ship jobs and factories overseas. Let's reward companies that create jobs and manufacturing right here in the United States of America.
Cut taxes, cut regulations, develop American energy, and encourage the people who create jobs. Now, it's the opposite of Obama.
Listen to that refrain. Well over a decade old, President Obama is in Charlotte, North Carolina, to renew his call to expand tax credits for working families. And there are some bipartisan sounds of agreement on serious tax reform. Too late for this year, though. For a look at the perennial state of tax policy reform, I'm joined by Elaine Kmark, a senior fellow in the Governance Studies Program at Brookings Institution and founding director of their Center for Effective Public Management. Elaine, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you.
What would you say is the current philosophy, if you can discern it, from within the tax code on this tax day? Is it chaos? Is it coherent? Is the tax system a way of enacting social policy or collecting revenue? Is it trying to be all of the above?
Oh, it's everything. It's absolutely everything. It's mammoth. But the degree of complexity depends on who you are. Obviously, if you are a big American corporation, you are filing, you know, tons and tons of paper. If you just have a job and you rent a place and, you know, you don't have a family or anything like that, you can file the 1040 EZ, and it's a pretty straightforward, simple thing to do.
Does the tax code make special preferences for certain kinds of industries when it looks at corporate taxes?
Oh, yes. I mean, there are certain industries like the energy industry that have a lot of special preferences in the tax code. And, you know, some of those came about years and years ago for good reasons, and getting rid of those is very hard to do. There are a lot of loopholes or tax exemptions in the tax code, and corporate America feels differently about each one. A lot of companies, however, would prefer that they frankly not have the loopholes and have a lower rate. And that's what there's some movement towards lowering the corporate tax rate, because that is now the highest corporate tax rate in the world. U.S. corporations pay a 35% tax rate, and most of our trading partners pay more like a 20 to 25% tax rate. So, you know, the trade-off would be get rid of some of these loopholes, but give American corporations a lower rate.
How long does it take a tax reform policy that is intended to produce some sort of incentive on the part of business? How long does that take before it becomes a loophole where it's grandfathered in, nobody knows why it's there, and then it's a loophole?
Oh, I don't know. Probably 5 to 10 years, and, you know, before you know it, it's a loophole. But, you know, loophole is in the eye of the beholder, right? So one person's loophole is another person's absolutely necessary, you know, business deduction. And so that's one of the things that makes tax reform difficult. Try going out there and telling people you're going to take away their mortgage tax deduction. people would be really, really mad, even though that deduction is a government favor to people who own homes versus people who rent. And, you know, some people argue, well, what's the justification? But even in previous tax reform bills, like the big one in 1986, the politicians just stayed away from the mortgage home deduction. So there's certain sacred cows out there. And there's on the business side, you know, every business, whether it's the research and development tax credit or deductibility for interest, every business has something that they feel is essential to their well-being. And that's why the secret to any tax reform bill is that if you do get rid of some of these so-called loopholes, then you've got to give people a lower rate to compensate and, you know, make it kind of even out.
So where do we stand in terms of individuals and corporate taxes and tax rates? And where might we stand if we went back and did what it was that we did a few years ago?
Well, the corporate tax rate is the area around which there's the most political consensus. And that's because the U.S. corporate tax rate at 35% is now the highest tax rate in the world. And it dwarfs our trading partners. And you do hear, I'm sure you've heard in the news, of inversions, companies moving their corporate headquarters abroad to take advantage of lower tax rates in different countries. So that's the big urgent one. On the individual side, the top tax rate runs to about 39%. That was a big victory for the Obama administration a couple years ago. And there's not as much interest on the individual side in cutting tax rates, unless, in fact, you could do something like capping deductions for more well-to-do people. And that's been discussed. In fact, that was an idea that Governor Romney floated in the last presidential campaign. So there's discussions going on right now on Capitol Hill in Paul Ryan's committee. He chairs the Ways and Means Committee, bipartisan working groups that are working on all these different pieces of the tax code to see if maybe perhaps sometime this summer they could bring a comprehensive tax bill to the floor.
Is there a tax preparation industry that has benefited from the complexity, the growing complexity of the U.S. tax code?
Well, there's always been a tax preparation industry that's benefited from the complexity, particularly for very big businesses and for very wealthy people, right? Because they've got a lot of money to shelter, they look for ways to do it, et cetera. Where we've really seen growth, however, is in people who have relatively simple tax filings, but they have started to use tax preparers for one simple reason. They want to get their refunds and they want to get them fast. Ironically, most Americans save by over withholding on their income tax. And so far this year, the U.S. government has given refunds to 73% of all the people who filed. And so the practice of overwithholding or saving by overwithholding causes people to want to get their tax returns filed quickly, efficiently, so they can get their tax refund.
Do you think there's any sort of bipartisan support for a serious reform effort here?
There's definitely bipartisan support on the corporate side. Okay, both the president has said this repeatedly. The leadership in the Republican Congress have said repeatedly that they need to do something about the corporate tax code in the U.S. because it's simply too high and it's putting us in an uncompetitive position. On the individual side, there's less consensus, and yet most people understand that it's best to do a comprehensive tax reform. And that's the goal, I think, of the tax folks in the Congress right now.
Elaine Kmark is a senior fellow in the Governance Studies Program at the Brookings Institution and founding director of their Center for Effective Public Management. Thanks so much.
Thank you.